What else could we say? Amen. God's been good. He's been good to us. Praise the Lord. Better than we deserve. You know, you weren't worth it. What Jesus, the price Jesus paid, what all He did. You're not worth it. But He did it anyways. Amen. He's been good. Praise God. And I thank Him for all He's done. When I look at my life, examine my life, I just have to really just say, you know, I mean, just what the songs, I mean, God's just been good. I mean, He's letting me do things I never thought I'd ever get the opportunity to do. And, I just thank the Lord for it. And it's a blessing to be saved, blessing to be a child of God, be serving God. He's never done me wrong. He's only ever done me right. Everything good in my life has come from Him. Praise the Lord. And it's amazing how much, even after we're saved and we know all these things and we say all these things, yet our flesh, that man of the flesh, will still fight and battle against the man of the Spirit. I mean, we know that everything good that we have has come from the Lord. And we know every time we've given something to the Lord, it's only good has only come back from it. The Lord's only done good in life, but yet we'll still try to hang on to little things and still try to do things our way, you know, just like you know, the Lord, He's done it every other time, but this time it's going to be different, you know. He's going to leave me hanging out to dry this time, but I know He never has before, but He's going to this time, and our flesh will just fight. And then here we sit knowing that God's just been good to us, and everything good in our life has only ever come from Him. But boy, He has been good. There's no doubt about that. So Proverbs, back in the book of Proverbs, and you can go ahead and turn to Proverbs 15, and gonna finish up tonight looking at some more of these comforts and conveniences from common sense, things that God provides in our life through wisdom and understanding of His Word, and just flat out common sense. Praise the Lord. And so going to look at some of these. This morning we looked at six of these and kind of broke it up and give you the other half of these tonight. But this morning, if you remember, recall, we looked at the advantages or the blessings of common sense, Bible common sense. We talked about commendation and charm, how you'll be favored and commended. Man is commended by because of his wisdom. And then, of course, control of self, self-control. It'll allow you, cause you to have self-control in your life. And then circumspection, caution, or foresight, help you to see down the road, see the things that would come, and help you to prepare for the things in life that would cause trouble, and help you to count the cost of the things that you would do and decisions you make, and to have some foresight in those things. Most of all, common sense, wisdom would cause a man to have the foresight into eternity and be laying up treasures in eternity, be getting ready for the judgment, preparing for the judgment. I tell you, it'd be worse to show up bankrupt at the judgment than to go bankrupt in this life. Amen. And that'd be worse. Either one would be bad, but the judgment would be far worse. And then common sense provides clarity for you, help you give and receive advice that would make things clear in your life. And then, of course, conservation and care. And then contentment. Nothing will make you more content in your life than having wisdom, having common sense, Bible common sense. And so I'm going to look at, those were the first six this morning we looked at. Going to look at six more tonight. And then we'll kind of close out this, really just kind of a study. You got kind of just a basic scratch the surface survey of the book of Proverbs. I tell you what you ought to do, what you ought to think about doing. A lot of people do this. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You ought to think about reading a chapter every day. There's a chapter for every day of the month, on the months that have 31 days anyways. And you can read a chapter of Proverbs. You can incorporate that into your other Bible reading and read a chapter in Proverbs. Take you 10 minutes, you know, a day. And you could read a chapter of Proverbs that coincides with every day of the month, every month from now till you die, and you'll get something out of it every time you read it. And it will help you. It will. It will help you. It will bless you. And because just what we're talking about is the message of Proverbs. It is wisdom, understanding. It's common sense. And it's knowing the ways of the world and how to navigate through this life. These are God's laws. And so it will really help you and be a blessing to you. But if you look in Proverbs chapter 15, we've looked at the first six of these. I want to give you six more tonight. The blessings of common sense, and pray they'll be a blessing and a help to us. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 15, and look in verse number 21. We'll start here, and again, we'll look at several of the verses. But Proverbs 15, verse 21 says, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." So folly or mischief or sin, life, that type of lifestyle, it is a joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Someone that lacks wisdom, lacks understanding, listen, living a life of folly, that's a joy. They enjoy it, you know. They enjoy doing things of that nature. But the Bible says that a man of understanding says he walks uprightly. So what's another one of the blessings that common sense will give you in your life? Well, what we see in this verse, we see the blessing of character or completeness. Character or completeness. If you have Bible common sense, it will put character and completeness into your life. People with common sense or understanding, Bible says right here, that man walks uprightly. You're more likely to do right and live for God and not sin if you've got wisdom. See, what wisdom will do, what understanding, common sense will do, it'll help you see the advantages of walking uprightly. Someone with common sense, I mean, they're more likely to do right and walk uprightly and obey the will of God and obey the Word of God because they know the advantages of it. They know the promises involved. You know, most of our founding fathers, the founding fathers of this country, not all those men were saved. Not all those men are in heaven tonight, probably. I mean, but here's one thing we do know. They were raised on the Bible, most of them, and they were taught the Bible, and they understood the blessings of walking uprightly because they had wisdom. Because of the wisdom that was sown into their heart. Benjamin Franklin's a great example. He was an agnostic at best, and I don't believe he was saved. I hope he got saved before he died, but I've read his autobiography, and there's no way he was a saved man. I mean, just based on the things that he wrote in his memoirs and his view of God, there's no way he was a saved man believing those things. I hope he got saved before he died. But in life, reading those things, he was an agnostic at best, but he was a moral man and he had wisdom and he walked uprightly for the most part in his life. He tried to do what right, wanted to do right. Matter of fact, he probably walked more right than a lot of us. I mean, walked very straight. He had this whole list of what he called virtues of life. And he had this whole list of virtues in life. And he wrote these virtues out, and he would have it like a checklist. And every day he would strive to fulfill these, I think it was 7 virtues, if I remember right. And I can't remember what all they were, but he would try to fulfill these 7 virtues every day. And he would go and he would evaluate every day. And if he felt like he, you know, exemplified this one virtue, he'd put a check by it. If he didn't feel like he exemplified the next one, he would leave it off. But every day he was always trying to check those boxes and live those virtues because he wanted to walk uprightly. Someone with wisdom will do that. Someone with wisdom and common sense and Bible understanding, even someone who's lost would attempt to do that because you at least see the advantages of it. Now, of all people, we ought to, amen? We ought to have common sense that we would walk uprightly. And that's what the word uprightly, it means to be right or straight. Means to be level. And so they walk a straight, the person that has common sense, they walk a straight or a good path, the Bible says. Man with wisdom or understanding, he walketh that way. They have productive, not destructive goals in life. By the way, wisdom would tell you to have goals in life. The sad truth is that a lot of men, a lot of women, they have goals for their finances, they have goals for their career, they have goals for their life as far as all the physical things are concerned, but very few people seem to have spiritual goals. We ought to have goals. I ought to have spiritual goals. I ought to have things that we strive for in spiritual things. But one with wisdom or understanding, common sense, would seek a straight path, a path that would lead them to a place that would not have waste or hidden deception in it. person with common sense has a balance in life and makes mature decisions. It walks uprightly. That's one of the blessings of common sense. It provides character. It puts completeness in your life. Another one is in number eight would be another blessing that common sense provides for us, is that common sense is costly or it is cherished. Okay? It is costly or it's cherished. You're in chapter 15. Look in chapter 16. Maybe on that same opening or one page over, look in verse number 16. Chapter 16, verse 16 says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold?" Notice that exclamation point right there. I mean, he is exclaiming, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Now, here we have a man by the name of Solomon. Wisest man that ever lived, and a man that had it all. Solomon had it all. He had riches. He had women. He had everything he ever wanted. The height, the pinnacle of the nation of Israel. Israel hit its peak under the reign of Solomon. Peak of its riches and the peak of its power in the world. It reached all those things under Solomon. Solomon had it all, man. And here we have a man who's really got it all. We know he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God is guiding his hand and telling him to write these things. But also we have a man holding this pen who's got everything the world has to offer. And yet this man is telling us what is truly valuable. And it's none of those physical things. Matter of fact, the same man wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and talked about the riches and talked about the wealth and talked about all the power and the authority and all those things. And he called it all vanity. Vanity of vanities. All those things are vanity. But he tells us right here, a man who's got it all tells us really what is truly valuable in life. I read a statement here a while back. I thought it was pretty good. Somebody said, some people are so poor, all they have is money. And boy, that's a mouthful, but boy, that's kind of what Solomon's telling us here. That if all you've got is money, and he had money, and if all you've got is fame, and he had fame, and if all you've got is riches, and he had riches, man, he had it all. He said, if that's all you've got, he said, you're poor. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Now, what you might gain with gold, This is why understanding wisdom, common sense is so important, because what you might gain with gold, you can lose just like that through one foolish choice. One foolish decision. However, common sense can help you to have or keep what money cannot buy. Amen. The things that money will never purchase for you, common, godly, Bible common sense will help you to keep those things your whole life. I read where Henry Ford, the automaker, he did not perfect the vehicle, but he perfected the construction of the vehicle, the assembly line. He came up with all that thing and revolutionized the American economy with the assembly line. Henry Ford did that. That's how they started building vehicles. And Henry Ford, he asked an electrical genius of his day, a man by the name of Charlie Steinmetz. He asked Charlie Steinmetz to build the generators for his factories. And one day, all these generators, they all ground to a halt. Something was wrong with them. And if you can matter, you know, in the business world, time is money, right? You know, got these big assembly lines going. They're building these cars. They got these generators. Yeah, it's powering the whole thing. And out of nowhere, the whole thing shuts down, man. And I can imagine Henry Ford. Boy, he's thinking about all the cars that are not being made and sold while they're sitting there and nothing's moving, right? Imagine he's probably losing his mind, you know. So Henry Ford, he calls this man Steinmetz. He lets him know, because when they all ground to a halt, they all stop working. All of his repairmen that he had working for him, Henry Ford did, none of them could find the problem. None of them could find the solution to fix these generators. They had to get these things going. So he calls the electrical genius, Mr. Steinmetz. And after all his repairmen couldn't find the problem, he calls Steinmetz. Steinmetz comes in. He tinkers around with these machines for just a few hours. His repairmen been working on him. I mean, just working and working and working. Cannot find the issue. He comes in just a very short time. He tinkers with these machines a little bit. Throws a switch. And they roar to life. Assembly starts going. Business is back up. Everything's working. Not long after that, Henry Ford gets a bill for $10,000 from Mr. Steinmetz. And in his day, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of cash. That's before they pump $6.5 trillion into the economy. That's when the dollar was worth something. $10,000, he gets a bill from Steinmetz. And Henry Ford, you know, he's this tight-fisted automaker. He's wanting to squeeze every dollar out of everything, just like a good businessman. And he gets up with Steinmetz and he wants to know, why is this bill so high? I mean, all my men, they worked and worked for hours and hours and hours and they couldn't fix it. You come in and you know, in just a couple hours, you've got it fixed. Why are you charging me $10,000? Steinmetz, broke the bill down for him. He said, for tinkering with the generators, I charge you $10. He said, for knowing where to tinker, I charge you $9,990. Because that's what makes the difference. Tinkering don't cost much, but knowing where to tinker costs a lot. You want to know why? Because he had the wisdom, he had the understanding, he had the knowledge to know where to go and what switch to flip and what bolt to turn and what wire to adjust. He knew, he had the common sense, so to speak, with what he was working with, and nobody else had it. See, common sense is valuable because so few have it. That's the way Bible common sense is. That is why it is valuable. That's why Mr. Steinmetz was so valuable. By the way, Henry Ford paid the bill. He didn't complain. He paid the bill because he knew he had the wisdom, the understanding, and that's worth something. Common sense, Bible common sense, it is costly. It is cherished. It is worth something. It's valuable because it's not a common sense ain't a common thing anymore. And so it's costly, it's cherished, it's worth more than gold, worth more than silver. You may not have a lot, but you can get in this Bible and you can dig out wisdom and you can dig out understanding. And if you seek God, He will give it to you. Amen. Number 9, I want to say that common sense, it leads to commendable things in our lives. It is so important to have common sense, Bible common sense. It leads to commendable things in our life. Turn over to chapter 19 in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19, and look in verse number 8. It says, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." If you keep understanding, the Bible says you will find good in your life. It leads to commendable things. Those that preserve or keep common sense, the Bible just flat out tells us we're going to find good. That person is going to prosper in life. In this life, and they have wisdom, they'll likely prosper in spiritual things as well. You'll find good. It will lead to commendable things in your life. Number 10, common sense creates and constructs a solid family. Now, there's a whole lot that could be said right here. A whole lot the Bible has to say about this. But I want you to look in chapter 24. Just turn over a couple pages. We're going to start right there. I'm going to try not to get too caught up right here, but there is really just a lot that could be said about wisdom and common sense regarding the family. But in Proverbs 24, verse number 3, Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established." Well, that's an interesting verse. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is an established. It makes the difference, it draws the difference between building a house and establishing a house. It does take some wisdom to be able to build a house. I mean, physically speaking, you got to have some wisdom and some knowledge and some understanding about building, and you got to know how to build houses, and you got to be able to think ahead, and you got to know how everything is going to fit together and be put together, and all those things. It takes some wisdom to build a house, but it takes more than that to establish a house. It takes wisdom to get the thing built. And you need common sense or wisdom to build the thing, but it doesn't become a home or a solid family or a household without common sense or understanding. You can build a house that never becomes a home. You can build a house and you can put a married couple in it and it never become a home. You can put a house and put a married couple and put kids in it and all that, and it never become an established home that glorifies God. You want to know why? Because it takes common sense to do those things, and not everybody has common sense. Not everybody is interested in knowing God's way and doing things God's way. Not everybody is interested in doing it the way God told us to do it in the Bible. And so because of that, a lot of homes fall apart. A lot of houses are built, but the home falls apart. Over in chapter 14, if you want to turn back a few pages to chapter 14. Proverbs 14, and look in verse number 1, says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Said the wise woman, she builds her house. The wise woman, she constructs her house, her home, her family. He said, but the foolish one, she tears it down with her hands. So that's the difference in having common sense biblically and doing things God's way. Is God's way and Bible common sense, it will establish your home. It will build a godly family. It will construct a good, solid family because it's got something good and solid to stand on. Amen. You know, I like, I think about what David said over in Psalm 37. You don't have to turn there, but if you want, might want to write this reference down and go back and read it. But if you consider the observations of David in Psalm 37 and in verse number 34, he said, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." He said, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Boy, that sounds like the day we're living in, doesn't it? Sounds like 2021 when you look out, but it seems like the wicked are exalted. Seems like the wicked are enjoying their time in the sun. It seems like the wicked are enjoying their days. I mean, you know, we talk about, we preach about, and I think I've probably preached at least two different times, two different series straight through the home since I've been here as pastor. And we talk about doing things God's way and doing things the biblical way. But whenever you look, it seems like a lot of the families and a lot of God's people who are trying to obey God and are trying to do the way God's way, seems like they're the families that struggle a lot of times. It seems like they're the ones that have the most troubles and trials, and they don't got everything all the world has to offer. But you look at and you see the wicked family, the ones who are living wicked and going the way of the devil, seem like they've got big fine homes and they've got nice new cars and they've got everything the world has to offer. And of course, we look at our government and it seems like the wicked are in power. It seems like they're just enjoying their day in the sun. And David said, you know, I saw the same thing. David said, I saw the wicked in power, and I saw them, you know, I saw them exalted, and I've seen them spreading themselves like the green bay tree, he said. But he said, yet he passed away. Yet he passed away. You know what living a life of sin and wickedness is like? It's like a flash in the pan. It's great one minute and it's gone the next. Seems like there, you know, you if you go out and you live your life and you lay aside Bible common sense and you lay aside doing things God's way, be it in your home or your life or anything else, listen, you might have your day in the sun for a little while. You will enjoy the pleasures of sin for a while, but it's always a flash in the pan. It will always be the same observation that David saw. It'll always be, yet he passed away. Boy, life was going so good, and they were enjoying things for a while, yet he passed away. Amen. And that's the way it's always going to be. Because a home or a family or a marriage that is not built on God's common sense and wisdom, it cannot stand. It will not stand. And that's one of the blessings of common sense and the blessings of wisdom and understanding is that it constructs a solid family. That's one of the reasons that our nation is going the direction that it's going. Because we've forsaken the common sense of the Word of God, forsaken God's wisdom, and the very fabric that holds our nation together, the home, is being eroded. It's being torn down. Again, there's a lot that could be said there, but you know, a lot of historians agree that that was the same exact thing that happened in Rome. All kinds of immorality, all kinds of political scandal, and all kinds of things like that. Listen, in the eroding of what they call it, the traditional home, we call it the biblical home. Ain't that right? The eroding of that common sense within the home, and once all that breaks down, listen, there's nothing for a nation to stand on. There's nothing for a nation to stand on. I read one historian. And it's almost scary, the parallels between ancient Rome and America when you get to studying that thing out. But I read one historian who said he pointed to one of the major causes of the downfall of the ancient Roman Empire. He pointed to he called it I'm trying to think of the exact wording that he used, but basically pedophilia. That where Rome progressed from promoting all kinds of sodomy and that being promoted under some of those Caesars and that being a form of entertainment in Rome under some of these Caesars, to it progressed from that to mass pedophilia among the leaders of the nation. And if that don't sound like the direction we're headed in America, I don't know what does. That same junk's being put into them, being those same seeds of being sown right now here in this country. You know what it all gets back to? It's all that immorality. It erodes the home. Now, if you want a great family, you put the Lord first in your life. You purpose to honor and serve the Lord with your life. You purpose that you'll promote and that you'll push your kids into serving and honoring the Lord for their life. That is the way. That is the key. That is the ticket to having a great home and a great family. It's putting the Lord first. I like what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That is the key to having a great family. Purposing in your heart that no matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else on your street does, in your neighborhood does, no matter what anybody else in the church does, no matter what anybody of your other family does, you are going to serve the Lord. That's the key to a great family. Common sense will give you that. Number 11. Common sense, one of the blessings, is that common sense cheers and coaxes us. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look in chapter 16. Chapter 16, look in verse number 22. Verse 22 says, "Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly." So understanding, it's a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Understanding, Bible common sense, it is like a bubbling fountain that gives strength and refreshment to the soul. You know, I've been around some people that I think maybe they thought they had wisdom, thought they had some understanding, but instead of this happening to them, it kind of like turned them into an old grouch. You know, real Bible wisdom and real Bible understanding and really being able to see the world the way God sees it and views it, it won't turn you into an old grouch. It'll be a refreshment to your soul. It'll cause you to have a smile on your face and peace in your heart and joy in your life whenever it seems like the whole rest of the world's falling apart. You'll be at peace with God and peace with yourself and peace in this life. It won't cause you to be an old grouch looking at what everybody else is doing, like, you know, and seeing the direction the world's going, the direction the country's going. Now, if you immerse your mind in CNN enough, it'll get you that way. But if you'll get in this Bible and you'll get common sense and understanding, if you'll continually flood your soul with this Bible, you don't just run through the Bible, but you let the Bible run through you and you let that Spirit speak to you. I tell you what common sense, what Bible understanding will be. It will be a refreshing to your soul. Be like a bubbling stream, like a cool drink of water that whenever you look out and you see the foolishness that's going on, it doesn't just grind you to no end. Instead, you put a smile on your face and you say, praise God, this isn't all there is to it. There's something more than this. And God's still on the throne and God's still in control and God knows right where I am. Real common sense will do that. We'll turn you into an old grouch. It'll give you a good spirit. Give you good understanding. Give you a good attitude. Said understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. In chapter 10 of Proverbs, if you want to turn back to chapter 10 a few pages, I want to show you a verse here. He said in chapter 10 and in verse number 11, he said, the mouth of a righteous man is as a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. I'm interested in the first part of that verse. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And you see the refreshment in that. That is the person that you're around that's got good Bible common sense, a good Bible understanding. Boy, with the things that they talk about and the words that they say, they refresh you and they help you and they bless you. And whenever you've got good Bible common sense, the words that you say will be that for somebody else. They'll be a well of life. Amen. In chapter 13, I want to show you a verse here. Again, we're just letting the Bible do the talking here. Chapter 13, look in verse 14. It says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I mean, you think about how common sense, how it cheers us and it coaxes us, how it blesses us. I mean, my word, just look at all the blessings that we're even preaching about and studying right now, how all the blessings. That is what common sense, they are a blessing to us, not a curse to us. Last of all, I want to give you this one, number 12. It creates continuation. Common sense, Bible understanding. It creates continuation or stability in our life and in weak nations. The Bible has a pretty good bit to say about that. But if you look in chapter 28, I'm going to give you a couple verses here and make a couple comments about them, then we're going to close. But look in Proverbs 28, look in verse number 2. He says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. He says, because of transgression, because of sin and wickedness, that causes there to be many princes, many leaders in a nation. That's interesting, isn't it? But it is true. Not just because the Bible says it, but you can actually gauge the world by that, and you will see that every time. That a nation that forgets God, a nation, a country that is dominated by rebellion and immorality, moral rot, it will always have many princes, many leaders. And it'll have many leaders. It'll either have them all simultaneously, or it will have several in rapid succession, one right after the other. Now, there's two reasons for that. First of all, the reason is because everyone in that country, because of the decline, the rebellion, the immorality, and the sin, everyone in the country is doing that which is right in their own eyes. Or number two, because those in leadership... They're just not living very long. Assassinations and overthrowing governments and all these things. And every nation, if you study throughout history, you'll find every nation that is an immoral nation, this is exactly what you see. You know what it is? It's instability. That's what we see in the... Listen, that's exactly why the Middle East is in the shape that it's in. That's exactly why most African nations are in the shape they're in. Listen, South Africa and Nigeria and Ghana and all these, it's like one ruler right after another. There's always these uprisings, there's all these things, and we're constantly sending our military in to try to sort everything out and settle everything down. Listen, we're not going to stop all that stuff. You know why? Because God and the things of God and common sense, Bible common sense, does not prevail. You know, the only answer to instability in a nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't legislate it. I mean, you can only hold it down by force, by brute force for so long. But, you know, I mean, it'll bankrupt you. That's what we've seen in America. It's about bankrupted us, trying to keep the whole world stable with military force, you know. You know what the answer is, though? The answer is the gospel. That's exactly what the Bible just told us right here. You know, the same thing was true in Israel. What about the days of the judges? I mean, just in rapid succession, one right after the other. One judge right after the other. Because every man, the Bible says, was doing right, which was in his own eyes. And whenever there was some leader or some judge that came up, and he would, you know, that leader would kind of appeal to what they want to do, well, that's who they'd put up. Or if there was a leader that wasn't doing things that they want to do, well, they'd boot him out or assassinate him or overthrow him or whatever. That's the way it always goes. Every nation you study, that's how it is. I read where one man said the other day, and this man is not even a God-fearing man. He's not even saved. I think he's an atheist, in fact. I can't remember his name. I wish I could remember his name. But I saw a quote by him, and it was very, very interesting. He talked about how believe it, you know, whether you believe, you know, in God, whether you follow Christianity or not, he said, there is no denying the fact that nothing has changed the world more than the teachings of Jesus Christ. You think about how before Jesus came and started teaching and preaching, love thy neighbor, do good to them that, you know, that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Before Jesus came and he was preaching and teaching, love thy neighbor as thyself. Before Jesus came and was preaching and teaching that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Before all that, well, you think about how brutal the world was. You think about how cheap life has been throughout the centuries and throughout history. Boy, life has been cheap, man. People live and people die. You think about the heaped up millions that have been that have lived and died, and all their life was just a number in a military for some great conqueror. And that's all they were. They were just disposable. You think about all those that died in the military of men like Alexander the Great and men like, I mean, that's all they were. They were just that was just what they were. That was them, you know. But boy, then Jesus came. And Jesus got to preaching. Jesus got to teaching. And people can like it or they can lump it, but there is no denying the fact that nothing and nobody has changed the world more than Jesus Christ and the way he taught and the way he preached. Isn't that right? Amen. And the blessings that we've inherited here in America is a direct result of those teachings. Because of the founding of this country, the common sense foundation, the Bible common sense foundation that this country was founded on is why this nation has had all of its glory and all of its blessings and all of its stability that we've seen. Only in the past however many years have we seen America get more and more unstable, more and more divided, more and more problems, all these things. And it's because we've departed from these teachings. Because common sense, it creates continuation. or stability for a weak nation. Wicked nations are always unstable nations. Common sense creates stability, endurance, or continuation. It maintains order. It maintains order because everyone's thinking about somebody else. They're not just thinking about themselves. You know, heavy taxation, that in itself is why the nation of Israel split under Rehoboam. That's what caused the division there, was all the taxation. And when they departed from the ways of God and started going the non-common sense route. Listen, tell me how much common sense it makes. How much sense does it make to tax a nation to death? You can't tax your way to wealth. You can't tax your way to wealth. That doesn't even make sense. But see, that's what we think whenever we get depart from the common sense of the Word of God. That's what divided Israel, you know, back then. Now, God is going to deal with our sins nationally and individually. Amen. You're not going to get around Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Not going to get around that. God will deal with our sins nationally, and He will deal with our sins individually when we depart from Bible understanding and common sense. I'm going to give you one last verse, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, I'm going to give you this last verse if you want to look at it with me. Proverbs 14, verse 34, you know what it says. God said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. These are all the blessings of common sense in our life. The blessings that God gives us. They create stability in our life. They give us a solid foundation. They do good things in our life. We are blessed by it. And if you want to build, if you want to have a good life, build your life on a solid foundation. That's the foundation of the Word of God and common sense. Build it on God's wisdom, God's common sense. And I don't know why God would even have me preaching this stuff, but one thing is for sure, it is true and it is right. And it might be that you're facing a decision, or you're facing things in life where you need just good Bible common sense. And I pray God's Word to be a blessing, be a help to you. And I said this morning, I'll say it again, we've never done anything, we've never obeyed anything that God wrote in the Bible that hurt us or hindered us. It's always blessed us and helped us. Always. And so I pray the Lord will help you tonight. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with your word. I pray that you'll take it, help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives. I pray that you would bless us now as we have the invitation. Lord, I pray that if you're speaking to somebody's heart, Lord, that they would find themselves on an altar. We're doing business with you this evening. I pray that you'd help us all to be people of common sense, rooted in the Word of God. In these last days, you'd help us. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.